Now we turn to today's roundtable. In addition to the Myers withdrawal, we've got the federal government reinstating a higher pay scale for those rebuilding New Orleans, states fighting over who should get more Homeland Security funds, and one of the WNBA's star players announcing she's gay. From our New York bureau, Michael Myers, executive director of the New York Civil Rights Coalition. In Chicago, we've got Roland Martin, executive editor of the Chicago Defender. And finally, in our New York bureau, Dr. Mary Frances Berry, professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania. Thank you so much for joining us.
Faria.
Yes.
Can we start with a comment I want to make about Myers?
Please do.
What?
Harriet
what?
Myers.
Harriet Myers, not Michael Myers. I'd like to make comments about him, too. What one of the points that Juan left out is that the issue of who gets nominated and who gets confirmed is not just an issue between the Democrats and the Republicans in the base of the party. It's also an issue between the moderate Republicans, people like Olympia Snowe and Susan Collins of Maine, people like Chaffee of Rhode Island. If Mr. Bush goes for somebody who's a hard right conservative who was involved in the Court of Appeals nominations, like Janice Rogers Brown, who is a minority and a woman, for a fight, he's asking for a fight, and he's asking for those people to have to bite the bullet, too. What's really going to be interesting is whether he decides to go with somebody like Alberto Gonzalez, or whether he goes, we'll try to find a Roberts-like person who won't make any waves, or whether he says, in your face, let's do Estrada, let's do some of these other people. But the conservatives who are ideologues will feel that they've won this battle now, and they will be full of themselves and will be insisting that it be somebody. And that's bad news for us.
This is a huge, huge body blow for the president, because if you look at her pulling out today, you look at the possibility of indictments in the administration, you look at 2,000 dead in the war in Iraq. I mean, this is a presidency that is in peril in many ways. And so as Dr. Berry stated, you're going to have a significant problem, because if the evangelical Christians in the GOP, they are emboldened now, and do not be surprised if they take more risk with the next nomination. And so he is in an extremely difficult position, because unless he throws them some red meat, they're going to be salivating no matter who he picks.
Roland, before we go to Michael, let me just follow up 1 second with Roland.
Yes.
How imperiled can this administration be when they are a lame duck administration? I mean, they don't have to run for office again.
Well, you still have an agenda. And when the attention is going to be focused on indictments, when the attention is focused on look, Supreme Court nominees just don't pull out every now and then. And so it is a huge body blow. And so the issue is going to be, who do I pick, and am I prepared for a fight? When I'm fighting on the left hand, I'm still getting my butt kicked on Hurricane Katrina. I'm still having to deal with the agenda. And so you're in a difficult position, because you don't have an easy out. If you don't appease the right wing of the party, then they're going to attack and again. And the last thing he may want to see is a second nominee pull out. So that's what I mean by that.
Well, Michael, let me frame it in this sense. Presidents get 4 to 8 years. Supreme Court nominees who become justices get their whole life. How important is it for the administration to put someone in who will serve for potentially half a century?
Well, every president salivates at the thought of putting a person on the Supreme Court. And this president has had unbelievable luck with respect to getting his personal choices on the court. But let me say this. This was not a body blow. This was a self-inflicted wound on Bush's part. It was, from the outset, an unbelievable nomination. He was telling the nation that he never discussed abortion with Harriet Myers. Oh, yeah, right. We never believed that. We didn't believe it from him, and we wanted to hear it from her. And so before the hearings, before we could ask her a question, which she withdraws, he was the one who says that he picked the best qualified candidate in the entire nation. Uh-oh, we didn't believe that. And nobody believed that. The people on the right didn't believe that. The people on the left didn't believe that. The people in the middle didn't believe that. George Bush didn't believe that. He was just engaging in empty rhetoric. Also, as Juan was suggesting, that he said, she said, visit with the senators. People coming out of meetings think she says one thing, and then she says, no, I didn't say that. President Bush wants someone on this court who who he said would not change their minds if they sat there for 20 years. That he wants a bigot, not a racial bigot, a bigot. Because a person who doesn't learn, a person who doesn't grow, a person who doesn't listen, a person who doesn't engage with their colleagues is a bigot. So maybe he's looking for somebody who is loyal to him. And that was a question that even Senator Spector said he would put to Harriet Myers. How distant can you be from the president you were serving as personal counsel? So I think this was a self-inflicted wound. I think he will now go and play both the race card and the female card, and he will probably pick Janice Rogers Brown.
Mary Frances
Farrah, I think that one of the scary things about this, having watched administrations and knowing about the history of what happens in second terms, is it means that many people on the president's staff are tired and they didn't adequately vet this whole thing. And he needs some new blood. He needs new thinking, which affects us on a whole range of issues, because anyone who sat down and thought about it could have predicted that many of the questions that have been raised about Myers, given her background. Why didn't they know about the speech that she made that raised a number of issues? Why didn't they know about all this stuff instead of having it come out? So there are a bunch of tired people over there, and that's dangerous for us on a whole range of issues. But every election is mainly about courts, Supreme Court, because the people are there for life. And the public can't figure that out. I mean, we keep trying to explain it all the time, that it's about the court. So the important thing for us for the future that he does, the most important thing, is who these people are who put on the
and
court.
And it's important because we're in this country, we are in a culture war. There is a divide about race. There is a divide over affirmative action. There is a divide over reproductive freedom rights. There is a divide over the rights of same-sex couples and other minorities.
There's a divide over civil liberties issues generally.
Civil liberties and civil rights, exactly. And well, in this culture war, I say bring it on. Make sure we have a candidate who's going to support and protect civil liberties and civil rights, not a person who's going to undermine the core fabric of our nation.
And we may hear the word filibuster again, too, depending on who it is.
This may embolden the Democrats. But let me turn, Michael. You have talked about this being a self-inflicted wound. There was another incident this week in the political universe that also shows that the Bush administration may not be as strong in terms of asserting its will as it has been in the past. There's something called the Davis-Bacon Act that offers people working on disaster recovery, for example, the local prevailing wage. The Bush administration wanted to roll that back for people working on Katrina recovery, but this week they conceded that the act would stand. Michael and then Roland, how significant is that? This may fly under the radar of this week's news, but it is going to impact the thousands, tens of thousands of people working on Katrina recovery, including some of the African-American folks who were displaced in the first place.
Well, I think it's significant in the sense that I think we should pay people decent wages. We should pay people prevailing wages. And you can't use the occasion of a hurricane or a natural disaster to waive the law. And when you did waive the law, you had abuses. You had people who were hiring undocumented workers and abusing them and not paying them because they were undocumented and running away from the responsibilities. And you also had an avoidance of hiring local people. You had people from out of state who were coming in into New Orleans called, quote-unquote, rebuilding. You cannot have the reconstruction of New Orleans to the exclusion of blacks. You can't have the reconstruction of New Orleans to the exclusion of local people.
And that really is where the president was getting nailed. Senator Trent Lott was extremely vocal on that whole issue of local folks in Mississippi being passed over. The same thing in Alabama and Louisiana as well. But I think what you see is this is also a victory for those moderate Republicans, many of whom who come from states where they have strong labor, where they have significant Democratic pockets in those states. And they made it perfectly clear that you know, we're going to get nailed if you don't make a change. And so they united and they forced the hand of this administration. And I think it is pathetic when you have the Association of Manufacturers and others who suggest that this is wrong to pay people appropriately. And then they begin to bring up things like waste and fraud when that was simply a matter of these construction companies and others wanting to pocket as much money as possible as opposed to paying the workers to do so.
Farrah, this was mainly about, though, this policy rollback about the election, congressional elections that are coming up. When those Northeastern and Midwestern Republicans went in and said, look, you're not running again, but we're running next time. And in our districts, we got all these union people. We got all these people. Do you want the Republicans to lose control of the House? And the answer was no. well, then you need to do something about this. So it wasn't because the president decided suddenly he loved unions or he loved black people or he loved whatever it is he loves. It was about, are we going to keep control and are we going to keep these seats or are we not going to keep these seats?
Let me go to one lightning round question. We've only got a couple minutes left. Michael, Roland, and then Mary. WNBA star Cheryl Swoops was named the most valuable player for last year, and she has now come out as gay. What she has said is that she's afraid that people will no longer look up to her because she's an out lesbian. I think of that Showtime show, The L Word, where one of the main characters is this famous tennis star who comes out, and her parents are all upset, but people love her. In the black community, like every community, we got all sorts of issues over sexuality. Michael, then Roland, then Mary. Will people still be able to embrace her as the athletic star that she is?
Well, I cannot predict human behavior, except in terms of past behavior with respect to people's prejudices and stereotypes of people. But this is a person who has been a very successful member of the WNBA. I think... Unfortunately, there's a stereotype that women in sports are quote-unquote lesbians. But I think we need not only to shatter that stereotype, but we have to shatter the prejudice against people who are gay and lesbian. So I think history will be made if the advertisers don't care. Or shall I say, history will be made if the advertisers do care and continue to highlight her as a role model.
Roland?
Well, for right, it was Cheryl Swoops who said that even her mother has yet to accept the fact that she is gay. Also, you're going to have some issues there on both sides of the aisle because when she made the comment that I was not born gay, I read a comment from an activist gay journalist who was very upset by saying they were troubled by that. And so you're going to have some gays and lesbians who are concerned because she said I wasn't born gay.
And those who
oppose it, they're going to suggest that, well, should I send my daughter or my son into situations where I believe there are more gay and lesbians, and they could be flipped? I mean, trust me, you're going to have the conversation. And so, but from an advertiser standpoint, yes, there is going to be some backlash, and I would not be surprised if she does not continue to get additional endorsements, even though she is considered to be the Michael Jordan of the WNBA.
Mary, very briefly.
I think that you can be gay and then be ignorant about why you're gay and make unscientific statements like she did. But in terms of the overall reaction to her, given the homophobia in the black community that one has to fight on a daily basis,
I'm going to have to leave it there.
That she probably will have some difficulty.
It was a personal.
All right, New York Bureau, Michael Myers, Executive Director of the New York Civil Rights Coalition, also Mary Frances Berry, Professor of History at the University of Pennsylvania, and in Chicago, Roland Martin of the Chicago Defender. Thank you all so much.